Welcome to the sermon ministry of Grace Baptist Church. For more information, visit graceutah.com. Join us now as we discover grace through the exposition of God's holy word, the Bible.
Turn to the book of Jude. Just before the last book in God's word, Revelation, just before Revelation, the book of Jude. Of course, it only has one chapter, so it's verse 20. Jude, verse 20, and we'll read through verse 23. Let's pray before we read God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you again for what you're doing in Congo through the power of the gospel, through your word, through your servants. Thank you for the believers there that are faithful to you, for the many that have been saved. Just, Lord, I pray that they'll be discipled and that there won't be only evangelism, but there'll be edification, and that those believers will grow in the local church, in the body of believers, in their locality, and that they will please you, and that they will reach out and reach others with the gospel, which is your power to save. Lord, as we look into your word, we just pray that you would give us each applications here that we can apply in our lives today. We ask your blessings upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in the book of Jude, and in verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making the difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." So we know the book of Jude was written by the half-brother of Jesus. Evidently, when Jesus was alive, he didn't trust Jesus as Savior, but after did. It's written to believers, because it says in verse 1, those that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And verse 3, it says, he's writing unto them, about that they write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write to you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So he's writing to the believers. He's telling them they need to contend for the faith that was delivered to them, the truth of God's word. And he says in verse 4, "And there were certain men crept in unawares who were before old ordained into condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so he says, I put you to remembrance in verse 5. And he tells them about what happened of old. And he's talking to the believers. And then he goes in verse 11. He says, "Woe unto them about these apostates." He's warning them of holding to the doctrines, the truths of the Word of God. And he warns them about the apostates. "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward." Boy, a little study. What's the way of Cain and what's the heir of Balaam? Just, we won't get into that. But then in verse 12, these are spots. And on in verse 12 it says, "Clouds without water, carried about with winds, trees without fruit, twice dead and plucked up." So he's just given a picture of these apostates, these people that really aren't saved, that they might say that they're Christians with their mouth, but they really haven't been born again, changed from the inside out. They're more religious, and they're trying to change by outward, and they're apostates. And he says, these are murmurers, and he goes on. But in verse 17, he says, "But Beloved, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he warned you about these last times. And then in verse 20, he turns back to the believers again, and he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So I think we have a picture there. We know before somebody can come to understand what these three crosses are and trust Jesus as Savior, as Romans 10 tells us, how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? They have to hear. How are they going to believe? They need to hear. And they need to hear what? Not about religion, but they need to hear what God's word says. And for them to understand that, they need somebody that will go and take them God's word and explain the sin problem and God's solution. And that person comes from a local church. So this morning, we've titled our message, People, Your Sole Priority. I know our priority should be to glorify and honor the Lord. But other than that, what is our priority? What is our purpose here on earth? I believe people are a high priority. So we're going to look at 4 points this morning. Who should reach and rescue? Who should reach and rescue? Who should we reach and rescue? How should we reach and rescue? And why should we reach and rescue? I was working under this little Nissan, putting the subframe together, and I heard police coming down 120th and turning on Irma Drive, right where the little mission house is, was just yesterday, or it was the day before. And these police, and I get up, and they're tricking and squealing their tires, one after another, an ambulance going just down the street, and I hear them turn off the siren. And I go out there, and here's ambulance and police out, and I'm looking in the yard, and all I can see is a body flopping like this, legs and body flopping on the ground, and all these police officers are around. I still don't know what. But there was the rescue team getting, the police arrived there first, but then there was the rescue and the fire engine, and they were out. And finally, the person who was kicking got behind a car and I couldn't see, and there was another man there. I said, what do you think is up? And I didn't want to run down there, and I mean, my curiosity wouldn't know. And but the man said, it's probably drugs. I don't know that drugs can affect like that. But, you know, I just wondered, do you and I care like a fireman, like a rescue team cares to rescue somebody physically? Do we care spiritually? So who should be doing this reaching and rescuing? According to God's word, it's believers. Because in verse 20 it says, but ye, beloved, and I believe that it's the believers that are going to be involved. Oh, first of all, we should point. Who should be doing the reaching and rescuing in this church? Sorry, I'm just trying to, nobody's pointing any fingers, I'm the only one. But you know, that's usually, yeah, the pastor, the missionary, yeah, the deacons, they're the ones that should be doing it. But really, where should the fingers be pointing right now? It's all of us. It's the beloved. It's those that are born again. We should be caring for those round about us. It says, but ye beloved, and it's probably the ones that have these four priorities. It's the ones that are building themselves up, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. You know, it's usually the people that are walking in the Spirit, that are reading God's word, that have a burden for lost souls. So I think there's four things there that are priorities in our own lives, that we spend time in the Word, building ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying, putting that as a priority. I know that these two, I work on them all the time. Yesterday, I couldn't do it as I was driving along. I had my phone, and Ann and I listened to 1 Samuel from 15 to about chapter 20. And What a blessing to be able to listen to God's word and then listen to messages. What a blessing. But building yourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. What does it mean to keep yourselves in the love of God? You know, basically, I think that it's just, this is spiritual disciplines. This is who we, what we're going to put, who is going to be priority in our lives. What did Jesus sum up all the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love Him. And I think that's what it's talking about. Loving the Lord, loving His Word, loving His people, and loving sinners, seeing people the way God sees them. And then it says, those also looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe that that should be four priorities as us as Christians. The priority of the Word of God, the priority of prayer. By the way, I have an iPhone 6. No, I want to give it to you. Anybody wants it. But it doesn't have a speaker. It only has a microphone. You can only talk. Who wants it? Or it doesn't have a microphone. All it has is a speaker. So you can just hear the other person on the other side. Hello? Hello? Who wants an iPhone? My son is a lifeguard, and he just found an iPhone 6 in a pool, and nobody claimed it. So he has this waterlogged 12-hour iPhone, and he's thinking he's going to get it fixed. You know, he's really, oh, man, I'm going to upgrade, you know. And but who would like an iPhone without a speaker, or doesn't have a speaker, or doesn't have a microphone? And that's really our relationship with the Lord, right? We need to listen to Him. That's the speaker. And the microphone, we need to talk to Him. That's why God created man, to have communion, to have a relationship. It's about a relationship. It's not about a religion. And so spending time and loving Him and keeping yourselves, staying in that walk with the Lord, letting the Holy Spirit direct us, and looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. We're not building treasure up here. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But we know that our real home is in heaven. You know, I heard the Bickish family sing this song. There are people wandering in darkness, empty and hopeless, blinded by sin, lost and fearful, struggling in bondage, searching for peace and joy within. Who will tell them Jesus loves them? Who will tell them that His life for them He gave? Who will tell them how He died, rose again, and He's alive? Tell them that Jesus saves. Can't you hear them? They're crying for someone. Please come and show us the truth in God's Word. We must witness and give out the gospel. Share it with those who've never heard. Will you tell them Jesus loves them? Will you tell them that His life for them He gave? Will you tell them how He died, rose again, and He's alive? Tell them that Jesus saves. You know, I noticed in the songs we sang this morning, I jotted down, the first song says, to love the captive soul. You know, there is truth in these songs we sing. To love the captive soul. You know, so many times we see people on the outward, but God wants to see us, how see them through His eyes, through how He sees the sin problem in their soul. And then the third song, to go and make thee known. To go and make thee known. To tell them about Jesus. So the second point we want to see, who should reach and rescue? Who should we reach and rescue? There seems to be two different categories in this passage that I see. Because it says, and some have compassion, making the distinction, but others, save with fear pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments that are defiled by the flesh. You know, there's some people that are stooped in religion and false religion. And there's other people, and they're just, you know, I know in Salt Lake City, I've come up to invite people to church, and people look at me the way I'm dressed, and nope, get out, almost ready to sicken the dogs on me. And they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. They have their own religion. They don't want to hear. But I want to share with you what the Bible says. No, we're okay. And wherever we go, even in Africa, we have people that are stooped in different religions, and they're not interested in hearing clearly what God says. But there's others who are open. There's others who are searching. There's other ones that are uncertain. I know for years I've used the question to just ask somebody, what would happen if you die today? Where are you going to spend eternity? We've all used that question. I ask it, the only person I saw yesterday. I got up from Denver. I finished off this little Nissan. My son rushed off to work. I got in the car with Anna, and we were driving back to Salt Lake. And I all of a sudden realized that my hair, Anna keeps going like this to me, Dad, you need to cut your hair. And so I thought, oh, there's a family in Denver that came out to adopt, and they said, we got free haircuts the whole year we're in the States. So I was going right by Ward Road, and it's not far out, Fantastic Sam, so pulled in there quick for a free haircut. And the lady that I sat to was the only person I actually got a conversation with driving back yesterday till I met my family. But I shared with her the whole time she was cutting my hair and asked her about her salvation. And, you know, we need to be looking for opportunities and know that there's many different people out there. There's some who we need to have compassion. And yesterday, every car, because I'm a mechanic and know how to fix things. Oh, I did stop. I forgot that. I did stop. I was coming up one of the just out of Denver on the left-hand lane, and I saw a man pulled over with a suit and tie. And he was looking at the tire like he didn't know what to do. So for me, when I see somebody like that, it's just opportunity that I can help somebody. I can have compassion and then maybe share gossip. But when I got there, he already had the tire jacked up and bolts loosened, and it looked like he was. He said, no, I'm okay. Thank you, though, for stopping. So I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But if I would have changed his tire, I would have then had an opportunity to give him a track. And we need to be looking. We need to see people as God sees them. And some, it takes compassion, and that will make the difference. But others, we need to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And you know, this morning I was just meditating on that a little bit, about a fireman. I would like you to think about a fireman and what it takes to be a fireman. But these are men that just save people mainly physically, cannot save them spiritually. But you and I have the gospel. By the way, when a fireman goes out and people are in that building burning, is he more concerned first about the building not burning up and the pets that are in there, or is he more concerned about the people? I think he's more concerned about the people. To rescue, whatever he has to do to rescue the people, the human beings that are in there. And we too, we have what God has given us, the power of the gospel to rescue people. And it's some people are desperate. I think this burning the fire is showing us some people are ready to commit suicide. And I just heard it on the radio as I was coming last night. I was already into Salt Lake City. And I turned on the radio and I heard about, I don't know if any of you heard it, but just yesterday evening. Because I try to turn on the radio and get as much input as I can from the Word of God. And the story was being told about this lady was giving her testimony about that she was on drugs and she was ready to commit suicide. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, she gets a phone and her friend had given her a number of a Christian counselor. And so she dials this number and she hears this guy is sort of getting up and in his bed and turning off his radio at 2 o'clock in the morning or something. And the guy just says, go ahead and talk. And so he's just, go ahead and share with me. And this guy sticks with this lady from 2 in the morning till the sun is up. And finally, she's all calmed down. She's shared it all about her drug problem, about her husband, and you know the problems there. And she shared everything with this guy, and this guy is just listening. And she says, aren't you going to even give me a verse or some passage I should read from the Bible? And the guy says, I'm sorry, I'm not a counselor. You must have called the wrong number, but I hope it helped you. She says, thanks. And she said, clear to this day, she doesn't know who that guy was. But just somebody that was out there willing to listen to as she poured out her heart. And she made it through another day and eventually got help because of somebody that had compassion. Let me tell you. You call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and start telling me about your drug problems. I don't know. Am I going to really stay up? 2 o'clock in the morning, get out of my bed. It's going to be hard. Are you there with me? Till in the morning when I got to get up the next morning to work and I'm going to talk to somebody who I don't know and just listen to all your problems? Yes. Then what happened? Oh, how does that make you feel? I don't know. But compassion, loving people, caring about what other people are going through. Seeing people as God sees them, having that compassion, making the difference, making the distinction even, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I think of my grandmother when they went to Eastern Congo and they were in a remote village. My grandfather had gone on a trip and my grandmother woke up in the morning to hear screams as people were running towards this hut that was burning on fire. And my grandmother went out, left the little baby and my dad, I guess, he was early in the 20s, and ran out and asked, what's going on? That house that's burning, there's somebody in it. There's a lady in it. She's alive. She's in that burning. And none of the men would do anything of that village. And my grandmother ran towards that burning hut, ran through the fire into that house, grabbed that woman and dragged her out, and that woman survived. And you know, that just, she not only had a burden for physical, but also for spiritual. Seeing people, having compassion, but yet then into the fire there, I think that's like urgent. Like we're not coming up to somebody that's burning in the house and say, could I get you a drink of, would you rather have Coke or Mountain Dew? Would we tell somebody that's burning in the house, start talking about, I don't think so. We're thinking of how we're going to break through that wall and grab that person. Now, friends, you and I cannot save a person, right? But we have the gospel that is the power to save. And some people, it's not a matter of compassion and taking time to talk to them. There's no time. It's desperate. And we need to ask them, if you die today, where are you going to spend eternity? One way I'm using these days, and I asked the lady cutting my hair yesterday, I said, can you tell me from God's word, how does God forgive sins? And she says, you know, I'm not really somebody that goes to church. But I think you need to ask forgiveness. I said, that's good. That's where we started. That's forgiveness. But how does God forgive sins? So we're able to finally get, and finally she said, Jesus, the word Jesus. And I says, there's the answer. That's God's way of salvation. So seeing people as God sees them, sharing, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. You know, friends, when we're Christians, when we're not reading the Word, when we're not taking time to pray, when we're not loving the Lord, putting Him first, when we're not looking forward to the Lord coming, that the Lord might come today, we really don't see souls the way God sees them. But when we have those four things in mind, and our priorities are right, we see that souls should really be our sole priority, should be a top priority. Taking time to love people, to have compassion, to get to know them, and then to share with them. And others, it's desperate. And we need to ask them, friend, if you died today, where will you spend eternity? There's not time to waste. And we need to share the gospel and then hate even the garments. I think the danger there is, of course, the false doctrine or the person that says, well, I'm going to go into the bar at night. I'm going to go every night into the bar and I'm going to drink with the people that are drinking so I can witness. I think there's some danger in things that can, and doctrine, and but seeing people and sharing. Remember that the gospel is God's power to salvation. To one person that we share it with, and they refuse it, it is dynamite. Explosive power. But to the other one who says that I know I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, it's dynamo. So just, I didn't click here, but just, we need to sometimes start with sin is a huge mathematical equation. We need to share with them what sin is. Sin divides, sin subtracts, sin adds, sin multiplies. But then we need to bring them to the cross. And yesterday I shared with this lady the two thieves on each side. One who mocked Jesus. And the other one who said, Jesus, remember me. And the life of Jesus, because he realized that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. The life of Jesus went into his heart, and it's one to go to somebody else. And he was changed from the inside out by the power of the gospel, by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's what the gospel is. So we need to address the problem. We need to address the consequence. We need to address God's solution, not man's. And then we need to bring somebody, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why should we reach and rescue? Because the world's lost. Because we have the truth. Because the years and the months and the days and the hours are passing. If any of you are Googling, please look up The Cry of the Blood by Amy Carmichael. And somewhere here in Utah, somebody painted this picture. And it's called The Cry of the Blood by Amy Carmichael, a missionary. And she has this dream, and I'm not, but it helps this picture. Here people are coming by the thousands, and they're just falling over this great precipice into eternal damnation. But up there, as the people are coming, there's some sentries. And those sentries are stopping them and saying, no, don't go down here. This is destruction. You'll fall into eternity without ice. And they're stopping them. They're gathering them in little groups and they're pointing them back up to the hill, the cross where Jesus died. Go by the way of the cross. Don't go this way. This is the broad and narrow way. But then there's over there are some people under a tree making daisy chains. Making daisy chains. And they're listening to the screams of the people falling over into eternal damnation. And one wants to go down there and stop them. They said, it's all right. Just come back and let's work on our daisy chains. Anyways, if you get a chance to read the poem, to me, that's the way I want to see people. And I want to be one of those sentries that tell people sin equals death. Jesus paid the debt in full. It is finished. There's nothing you can add to what Jesus did.